Frauds and Papists and European Religion by John Immel. This article is a continuation of a conversation on family member Tomczak responds. What follows is my unrelenting determination to hammer this point down with nails. Some have attributed my tirade to fury, that, notwithstanding, the thing I am specifically critiquing is the fraud in the whole apostolic submission and authority doctrine, and the sub-theme called covering that is being trotted through the United States. There is a general cry emerging in American piety. Our leaders abuse us. Any number of outlets have emerged, voicing a litany of abuse, perpetrated by leaders of many doctrinal persuasions and flavors of Christianity. Some churches under discussion are national ministries. Others are local megachurches. Some are mid-sized, interconnected community outreaches. And some still are small-town gatherings. While the problem might not be in every location and in every denomination, the theme of leaders leveraging Bible ideas to exploit and dictate their congregations has come to the forefront. The subtle power of spiritual abuse and other resources addressing the same issue are becoming staples in Christian reading lists. Believers feel the need to doctrinally arm themselves against their leadership. As a trend in American piety, this is a bad, bad sign. My goal is to illustrate the theme is no accident. It is the logical outcome driven by specific ideas. As I've said in other places on my blog, spiritualtyranny.com, there is method to the madness. I do both inductive and deductive argumentation, meaning I use specific tyranny of groups, people, and leaders to make an overarching observation about method, means, and tools of despotism. This tempts people to believe one of two things. One, that what I have to say does not specifically apply to their exact situation. Two, that this blog only exists for my wrathful pleasure against select men. The original post, Family Member Tomczak Responds, was written to address the second temptation. Further comments on the post were made along these same lines. While I appreciate the source of the observations, I need to redirect the attention back to my ongoing effort to use specific tyranny to make an overarching point. There is something profoundly wrong inside the national ministry called Sovereign Grace Ministries, as ever-emerging stories illustrate on sundry outlets. And for reasons yet to be detailed, no one who claimed for themselves apostolic title has raised a voice in protest. This is specifically curious in Larry Tomczak's case. As founder of the movement and self-proclaimed apostle who has openly advocated submission to his authority, one is compelled to ask, where is the covering? I have detailed this issue in three separate posts, The Very Important Thing of Blog Apostleness, Women and Children First, and Family Member Tomczak Responds. This is my fourth and never-ending effort to shine a light on the implicit fraud deeply embedded in this doctrine. The elements of this doctrine have vast implications. The train is coming down the tracks, the whistle is blowing, and American Christianity is skipping along its merry way. But before we dive into that, let me back up a minute. There has been some question as to my relationship with Larry Tomczak, thereby implying that I am unqualified to address his action in context to some ongoing spiritual tyranny. There is probably an article in here somewhere addressing the assumption that all commentary is somehow born of nefarious personal motive. But that is a different conversation for another time. For now, I will say this. My familiarity with Larry, personally, is irrelevant. And that is also true of any other apostle teaching this body of doctrine and failing to deliver on their own standard. I am not talking about Larry Tomczak the dad, or the friend, or the family member, or Larry Tomczak the sincere, or Larry the nice guy. I am talking about Larry the apostle. I am talking about Larry the professor of doctrine, a teacher of Christians, and the founder of People of Destiny International, Covenant Life Church, and Sovereign Grace Ministries, also known as PDICLC-SGM. I am talking about the colossal hoax in the doctrine displayed for all to see. For those of you who don't know, The doctrine of covering, or oversight, says that Christians are obligated to bring their minds, time, gifts, talents, and resources to apostolic central planning, in exchange for a spiritual governmental protection. The bottom line of this doctrine is, believe what I tell you, without question, and give me your money. What kind of protection do you buy with that price? What is the specific manifestation of that oversight? These are very, very, very good questions. Larry and a host of other protectionists teach what amounts to little more than Protestant papacy. Select men, given a dispensation to be God's representative on the earth. They stand in the stead of God, mere stewards of his truth, dictating his will, overseeing your conformity to the kingdom. Don't worry about what you will do in the kingdom, they will tell you. No reason to think much. They have your back. And just like the papacy of old, they advocate Christian docility, while the tyrants and thugs plunder at will. These apostolic cons say they are uniquely qualified to cover the sheep because sheep are stupid and need someone smart to defend them. But when it comes time to do some shielding, they wring their hands and dither about. These apostolic frauds demand obedience to authority, but like all despots, only use that authority on the very people that are there for protection. Which every story mentioned on Family Member Tomczak Responds abundantly illustrates. When faced with a threat from those with the means and the will to create destruction, they toss their hands in the air and tell everyone to smile and pray. And here's the point. These apostolic frauds preach a social contract that is glaringly one-sided. They claim for themselves all the power and benefit of authority, with no responsibility to a specific outcome. I want that job. I want to be able to mandate that everyone must believe what I say and do what I command. And then, when it all goes to hell, I want to be able to say, God is just allowing you to be tested, to reveal what is inside. God is sovereign. The devil is attacking. It's your lack of faith. Blah, 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 blah. And oh, by the way, tithe to me, you God robber. I want that job. Actually, no. I couldn't look that con man in the mirror. Here, now, in the microcosm that is SGM, is an opportunity to show forth the function of this covering. And where are these wondrous covering apostles? What are they doing in all their submission and authority glory? They pound the pulpit openly, advocating bring everything to central planning. They will breathe all manner of woe and evil portents for not submitting to apostolic authority. But now, in the face of tyranny, in the face of rank mystic despotism, the only sound in the room is crickets. This silence can only mean one of two things. One, these apostolic wunderkind are in intellectual, theological, and philosophical solidarity with SGM method and practice. Which means they don't object because they agree. Two, their doctrine is fraud, 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 fraud. I am not backing down here. There is no compromise. There is no middle ground. There is no, they're just a little confused. There is no such thing as, I don't think God will use them. By doctrine, they are saying this is their divine charge. I will never practice Rodney King Christianity. No, we can't just all get along. Tyranny is based in philosophy. It is no accident. Tyranny is on purpose. Tyranny seeks to compel people to specific ends. Tyranny is death and destruction. You don't trip into tyranny any more than you trip into sex. People make very specific decisions and advocate specific ideas to get to both outcomes. Okay, breathe, John. Breathe. I'm going to wax brainy for a minute so that maybe you can see the much, much bigger picture. Salvation is of the Jews. But modern Christianity is a European religion. It is no accident that we are seeing a resurgence of European religion concurrent with a tidal wave of European collectivism. The religious governmental courtship starts decades before the tyrannical marriage begins in earnest, and the honeymoon period always ends in a bloodbath. European history is a portrait of romance between these dysfunctional bedfellows. The leading element of European religion is religious monarchy, also known as oligarchy, also known as papacy. This governmental model was aided and abetted by Platonist Augustinian depravity, justifying all manner of tyranny for the cause of the gospel, which really meant for whatever political, governmental, and social purpose the church was advocating at the moment. For two millennia, religious strife and destruction has washed across the face of Europe, fueled by the ideology that man does not own himself. Man is a ward of the state. History shows forth the tide of destruction that philosophical assumption creates in the hands of monarchists, oligarchs, and papists, and Marxists, collectivists, fascists, and national socialists, with virtually no clue of the fruit of our chosen course. American Christianity is tripping down the same European religious despotic path, patting ourselves on the back for having finally gotten Christianity right. After all these years and all the supposed chaos, we're finally back to what God really intended. Our leading thinkers are really historical shills, repackaging and resurrecting doctrinal justification for Protestant papacy in modern American piety. This is no easy feat, because American intellectual heritage was founded on ideas that resisted European mystic despotism. And American Christianity had at its root the assumption of intellectual freedom in an utter distaste for collectivist doctrines. So to achieve the outcomes of old, they have dug back into history and revived the historic Platonist Augustinian assumptions to justify doctrines of dictated good. These doctrines place one man, or a group of men, in seats of power to compel right action. Because we have driven thinkers from our midst, no one is present to resist the ideological and theological disaster. As a result, American Christianity is a basket of intellectual schizophrenics, advocating ideas that are mutually exclusive and wondering why the outcomes do not improve. We pound the pulpit for our return to European religion, and in the next breath insist that God founded this country and Christians wrote the Constitution, never once realizing that the two outcomes are diametrically opposed. The European religion we are now laying claim is the very autocratic-oriented religion those founding fathers abandoned. Or maybe better said, it is the very religion the founding fathers created absolute barriers to its predisposition towards mystic despotism in the United States. The result is inevitable. Just like our religious forefathers, the American church is aiding and abetting the rise of political tyrants. The American church is doing what the European religion has always done when history's Hitlers start beating the drums for hope and change. They become the leading force of pacifying the populace in the rise of every fascist, despotic state in the last 500 years, stifling resistance until it's too late. There is a reason that Marx called religion the opium of the masses. There is a reason why Hitler courted the Catholics and the Lutherans in the beginning. The easiest way to persuade the people they shouldn't fight for liberty is to tell them they're ineffective in God's kingdom if they don't play nice. I suspect people find this a dizzying irrelevancy, a massive leap from the modest conversation on a blog to history of European religious collectivist tyranny, but it isn't. We are on a disastrous course. Larry and a host of others are anecdote for a graver ill. They are symptoms of a horrific trend in American Christian thought. I don't care that they don't know. By their own submission and authority covering doctrine, they are supposed to know. I don't care how sincere they are. We don't get credit for sincerity when the tyrants come to pillage and plunder at will. And if the parable of the talents shows us anything, it is this. Mere good intentions are penalized harshly. Results are rewarded absolutely. I am going to hammer away at the implicit fraud of this doctrine to highlight the charade that is being perpetrated on Christianity as a whole. One element of that charade is the doctrine of covering. The doctrine of covering is little more than spiritual protectionism. We would see its function immediately if they dressed in cheap suits and said, "You're poorly. Can you believe this fucking guy?" "Yeah, Tony. Make him an offer he can't refuse." "Okay, it's like this, see? $4 a month, and maybe we keep the bad things from happening." These thugs can only exist in an atmosphere of implied chaos and pending violence. The moment anyone has the means and the will to commit actual violence, they vanish like rats. And when they vanish, they leave a vacuum. Protectionism makes believers terrified and therefore passive. Many people discuss their lifetime of fear after exposure to these doctrines. This is no accident. This is on purpose. This is by design. This is a political tool to cow the body politic, or in church parlance, the body of Christ. Passive people become empty people, prime for whoever will fill the void of their mind. The doctrines of Protestant papacy are really doctrines designed to pacify the body politic. They are teachings designed to strip away the means and the method of resistance by undermining your moral clarity to resist anything, let alone tyranny. Passive people become empty people, primed for whoever will fill the void of their mind. Christians are heading for disaster because we have been primed to be compliant. We are being conditioned to believe that our spiritual function is conciliation, pacification, and appeasement. If we are a fountain of sweetness and light, somehow the world will get the point and be a better place to live. Modern preachers are once again laying the ideological foundation that turns Christianity into a socially benign religion. Their motive is based in their inability to lead with the power of their ideas. They need authority to bolster their impotence. They need a compliant church body so they can survive ideas they cannot repel. But the Protestant papists' unwilling outcome is they have indoctrinated cultural and intellectual submissiveness. Surprise, surprise, surprise. A passive body politic was a core function of European Christianity in the medieval Three Estates. The social organization of medieval Europe was enforced by the same mystic despotism. The same mystic despotism justified the divine right of kings by insisting that all government was intended by God's hand, and therefore all acts of despotism are just the way of a sinful world, and what can you really do? Long before Neville Chamberlain sold the world a hippie bumper sticker, "Peace in Our Time," the Catholic and Lutheran Church taught the Volk of the Weimar Republic deference to tyranny's rise. Church leaders told the people it was their job to watch the flock and defend against the bad, never once realizing they were teaching their charges the philosophical foundation for Hitler's National Socialism. And like all protectionist thugs, they vanished like rats as Europe burned and the bodies were being reduced to ash. Too late to rally the people, to teach them the moral clarity to resist the tyranny. Impotent European church leaders wrung their hands and blamed the destruction on man's great sinfulness. A man who has no sense of history has no eyes or ears. Here's where we are, dear spiritual tyranny reader, at the crossroads of tyranny. We cannot insist that we are a force of liberty in the world if we practice tyranny within our walls. We cannot fault the world for destroying freedom if we cannot stand firm against our own fabricated doctrines that subjugate the minds of men. We cannot call ourselves salt and light and dare to wield a sword if we cannot sustain the moral clarity to condemn the fraudulent Protestant papists pretending covering. If they don't have the gonads or the plan or the ability, then it is time we sent these spiritual thugs in their cheap suits and Jersey accents packing.